morning. Thank you again for joining us for our learning here. So again, we're taking a little bit of a break from Mikra Mefarshim to a shiur that, again, I'm very wary to call it Meet the Haggadah, as I was when I said by the Megillah, Meet the Megillah. Meet the Haggadah. Everyone here hopefully has already seen the Haggadah many times. Many of you, most of you, more times than I've been to the Haggadah. So I don't want to call it Meet the Haggadah, especially because it doesn't have the same alliteration as Meet the Mefarshim, Meet the Megillah. Meet the Haggadah is even worse. So we're not going to call it that, but we'll try to have a new interaction, a new date with the Haggadah. Maybe see a theme that we might not have seen before, and see how it plays out through various parts of the Haggadah. I'm going to start from a Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. Arvei Pesachim is the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim. It's like the third and final section of Maseches Pesachim, which deals with Pesach. Happens to be there's a program called Oraisa. It's an Amud Yomi program. Like it's like Daf Yomi is two sides of one page. You do a page a day. So Amud Yomi is one side, and it's actually only five pages a week. So you can find out more about that on oraisa.org. And we just started this Pesach section, Arvei Pesachim. We just started it Thursday night. So that was the first page, and today is the second side. So it's definitely not too late to join if you want to look into that. But Arvei Pesachim deals with many halachos, and at the beginning, not super Pesach focused, though it gets really to all, most of the halachos of the Seder are derived from this Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. I want to start from the beginning of it. It's in Pesachim, Sadi Tesum Abeis. It says, Erev Pesachim, Samoch Lemincha, Leyochal Adam Achitechsha. That Erev Pesach, a person, once it gets close to Mincha time, which is going to be later in the day, a person is not allowed to eat until it gets dark. And then we'll hold over there for now. So that's what the Gemara says. The Mishnah says. The Gemara discusses, hold on, isn't that the thing every Erev Shabbos? Not to have a Seuda too close to Mincha, too close to Mincha time. You shouldn't have a Seuda, right? Because you don't want to be full going into Shabbos. So isn't that a thing for every week? And the Gemara discusses. There's a couple of opinions. Yeah, well, you know, maybe by other Shabbos and Yom Tovim, not everybody agrees, but this is unanimous. Everybody agrees by Erev Pesach. You have to be careful not to eat too much Erev Pesach. There's another opinion that this is even earlier. You have to hold back even earlier from eating on Erev Pesach. Why? What's so special about Pesach? Right, Manishtana Halayla Zemi calling us. What's so unique about Pesach night more than any other night that we have this extra stringency, either that everybody agrees, or that even earlier you have to stop eating. So we take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lo yochal, why? Kedei sheyochal matzah shel mitzvah l'teyavon mishum hidra mitzvah. So that you should be able to eat matzah l'teyavon. Right? L'teyavon. That's what people say, but we give you, right? You have enjoy your bagels. B'teyavon. Bon appetit, right? So the matzah should be eaten b'teyavon. So because of that, we shouldn't eat so much Erev Pesach. And just for the sake of we met him last week, our dear Rebbe and friend Rashbam. So Rashbam also comments on this page, and he says, "Kadesh yochal matzah shal mitzvah l'teyavon mishum hidra mitzvah." So he says basically the same thing as his Zaydi. But Rashi and Rashbam, they tell us that the thing is over here, there's a special piece that we need to eat the matzah b'teyavon with an appetite. Why is that so important? And to strengthen that a bit, take a look at Tosfos over here. So Tosfos notes, hold on, and something that probably some of you are already thinking and asking about. But what do you mean? If you're talking about uma lo yochel I matzah filu kodem nami aser kedem rinam b'Yerushalmi, even before close to mincha time, you're not allowed to eat matzah, right? We know that. You're not allowed to eat matzah Pesach morning, right? It's a Gemara in Yerushalmi that Tosfos is quoting. Why? Kol ha'ochel matzah be'erev Shabbos kilu boel aruso bebeis chamiv. Right? Anybody who eats matzah erev Pesach at any point of the day, erev Pesach, and the Mefarshim discussed, maybe it's even the night before, even Leil Erev Pesach, meaning the night of Bedikas Chametz, this discussion, is that even that included? It's like someone who is Bo'ol Aruso Beis Chamiv. That's a man is in his future father-in-law's home with his future wife, right? Early, before the wedding. So it's a problem to eat matzah. And then it also says, okay, what's a little bit different over here? But the point is that there's something unique by Pesach that it has to be that we have to be have lots of room for the matzah. Should be eaten b'tei avod, and that you can't even eat it erev Pesach. And we don't have this by other mitzvos, right? On Chanukah. Is there a rule you can't eat latkes erev Chanukah? Okay, it's not really such a good proof because eating latkes is not really.
How about Shabbos, Friday night? You're not supposed to eat like a lot before the Friday meal.
Right. So the answer is yes, that's true. We mentioned that we shouldn't eat too much erev Shabbos, but the dividing line, right? It's close to Mincha. By Pesach, it's even the point where you have to stop eating is even earlier than by a regular Shabbos, and also by Pesach, there's an iser, right, prohibition of eating matzah even from the morning of. But I gave the example of latkes, and that's not really a good example because latkes is not really a mitzvah. I mean, it's a fulfillment of maybe of pursuing and publicizing the miracle, but it's not really a mitzvah. But there's no prohibition about lighting candles erev Chanukah, right? Like you can, if you want to light a candle erev Chanukah morning, you could do that. Or is there a prohibition about sitting in the sukkah erev Sukkis? I'm sure if there is. I don't remember hearing of one. Over here we have it uniquely by matzah. What about Dalin Minim or Megillah? You're not allowed to learn Megillah before Purim. I think everyone encourages us to learn Megillah before Purim. Shofar, right? So shofar a little bit, right? Shofar we don't blow shofar erev Rosh Hashanah, but we blow shofar the entire month before. So, meaning the enthusiasm that we would have, like you can imagine, the enthusiasm that we would have for Tekiah Shofar, there would be so much more excitement for Tekiah Shofar. The first time we would hear it every year would be on Rosh Hashanah, right? We're almost bored by the point, you know. After it depends how much we're paying attention and really connecting and really doing tshuva and really being awoken every single time we hear the shofar. But after you hear the shofar almost all of Elul, and then you go into Rosh Hashanah, like I've already heard it a bunch of times, so it definitely loses some of that enthusiasm. But we don't care about that over there. We say it's fine. That's not the point. But for here, for some reason, by matzah, there's a teyavon that we need. You need to make sure you stop eating Erev Pesach, and you can't even have matzah Pesach. And you know what? Does anybody in this room have a minhag to not eat matzah even before then? Right? Many people don't eat matzah all of Nisan. Some people don't even eat matzah. Shloshim yom, kohen b'chag, 30 days, already from Purim.
I only have it during Passover. What?
Right, period, but do you specifically not have it? Like if someone
specifically don't have it
the rest of the year,
right?
Meaning if someone would offer you, say, no, it's prohibited to me. It's against my custom.
Yeah,
or you just don't like it.
Both, but I just don't have it.
Okay, right, no, most people don't have it. My grandparents, they actually they would eat matzah during their. Might not have been kosher Pesach matzah, but they actually enjoyed matzah during the year.
Matzah mixed with a liquid though.
Gebrux?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not definitely not today's topic. That's
that's
trying to see that up. But what I'm talking about is accustomed to refrain from eating matzah, not only close to Mincha time, but all of Erev Pesach, possibly even from the night before, and then you extend it to all of Nisan and some 30 days before. Why? Why is that so important by Pesach? Uniquely by Pesach, it seems like. And now I want to take a look at some points in the Haggadah and start talking about the Seder itself. We were pre-Seder, now we're at the Seder. One of the most popular answers, I'll ask you, what is one of the most popular answers at the Seder? That's a funny thing to say, right? Usually, what's the most popular question? What's probably the most popular answer to many questions that are asked at the Seder?
What's different about this
night? That's a question. I'm looking for the answer. To get the children to ask, right? That's the question. That's the most popular answer at the Seder. There are many different questions. Is this the bigger half? That's a very popular question. There's a lot of popular questions, but the most popular answer probably is to get the children to ask. We have this by many things, but why do we have the karpas? We have the vegetable. What's going on? To get the children to ask. we're moving the Seder plate. Why? To get the children to ask. And it seems to be that that's something that specifically we're trying to get the children to ask. And of course, they're putting aside the point for a different shear of how you can possibly give such an answer to a child and then expect them to be willing to ask another question. That's also a very fascinating discussion, but not for now. But what's the reason for that? Why do we care so much about getting the children to ask? So any suggestions? I think one simple thing that people naturally would think is that we want to keep the children engaged. Right? Was anybody thinking that? Okay, that's what I thought was, yeah, you know, we want them to be paying attention, so we have little games, and in the times of the Gemara, you had little nuts that they would give, and because that was like the candy of the time, and you want to keep the children engaged, so you have some shtick, you have some fun, you make sure you get them to ask questions, but I think it has to be more than that. It could be that's also a part of it, but it has to be more than that. Why do I think that? Well, first of all, we know that the Manishtana, we already started asking, the Manishtana is clearly is there something special about the Manishtana? I think everyone connects to it, but that's maybe not, maybe you could just call that sociological, not a big deal. But the truth is that the halacha is, the Gemara discusses, if someone, Rachman al-San, is having the Seder by themselves, right? So they're supposed to ask themselves the Manishtana. You have to ask yourself a question, right? And in fact, when we talk about the four sons, so at least three of the sons, what do they do? What are the first three sons? What are they doing? They're asking a question. The fourth son does not know how. Eino yidei lishol. So you would think, What should we do? Okay, so he doesn't know how to ask. So we'll just we'll tell him the story instead of him asking. That's not what it says. It says, "At psachlo, you should open his mouth." Right? You open it up for him, meaning you get him to ask. You train him to ask. You teach him to ask. You get him to say something to get a question out, and then you answer. But again, why is it such an important thing to ask the question? That you'll even ask yourself, you can imagine, like a Talmud Chacham who's read the Haggadah and Maseches Pesachim 1,000 times over. He's 70 years old. He's having the Seder by himself. He's supposed to ask himself, Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh. Maybe he doesn't sing it. Maybe he can think of a different tune. Okay, but why is that such an important part of the Seder? So, to those two questions of why is it so important to get that we eat the matzah b'teyavon, and why is it that we have to get the kids to ask, or anybody to ask? Why is questions such a focus? And you look throughout the Haggadah, there's a lot of questions. Aside from just the Manishtana, we have, right, about when Pesach, matzah, and maror, so right, matzah zu shanu ochlim al shuma. Right, we ask the question: why do we eat the matzah? Why are we doing this? There are lots of questions throughout the Seder. It's not just and of course the four sons and their questions. There's a lot of questions. Why is it so important to have these questions? So, first, I want to get into just quickly to understand the Manishtana itself. So, we call the Manishtana very often. It's referred to as the four questions, right? So, is that really true? Is it really four questions? Maybe. Okay, so how many questions would you say? Well, okay, so maybe I would say, Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol ha'yos. How is this night different from all other nights? So it's one question, and then it could be you could read it as four answers. Well, let me tell you. First of all other nights we don't eat matzah, and today we only eat matzah. And let me give you another answer to your question. All other nights we eat all types of vegetables, and today we specifically take this bitter herbs. And all other nights, right? So really, you could view it as one question, four answers. Another way to view it, I think I heard from it's like Echelon, that he says it's not even a question. It's like an exclamation. Like Ma tovu alecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael. He says, Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. How different is this night from all other nights? Look, and then it proceeds to demonstrate with four proofs. So really, that way to view it, it's actually zero questions. It's five statements or one statement and four supports for that statement. So it's another way to view it. However, one way that I've understood it, that I learned many, many years ago, I think I learned it in the name of the Abarbanel and maybe the Malbim, but I've seen it quoted as just a general approach. So I'm sure many have said it throughout the years. That really the Manishtana is Manishtana Lailos that we call Halilos is a question of why is this night different from all other nights, that all other nights seem to have one unifying theme. We're trying to experience one type of thing. However, on this night, we seem to be focusing on two different themes. Are we trying to feel like we are slaves? Or are we trying to feel like we're free men? Is this about reliving Avdus, or is it reliving Chayrus? And then the asker of the Manishtana proceeds to demonstrate with two proofs for each side that, you know, we see a little bit of Avdus, a little bit of Chayrus. Right? All the nights we have Chametz, Matzah, today we specifically have Matzah, this Lechem Oni, the bread of affliction, like slavery, like slaves. And all the nights we eat other vegetables, and today we have Maror, we have bitter herbs, there's slavery. On the other hand, all their nights we don't have right we don't recline, over here we recline, we dip, we have fancy dips at our table. In the times of the Mishnah, there was also we roasted meat that we don't need it to be, you know, extra large. Roasting makes it smaller. So there are two questions that demonstrate avdus and two that demonstrate chayrus. So Manishtana Laila Zemikalilos, why is this night different from all other nights that we seem to have trying two different themes that we're trying to relive? Huh. The little kid at the table is much deeper than we thought, huh? Right? And what's the answer? The answer is Avadim Hayinu Lefarav B'Mitzrayim. Well, you see, we were slaves, right? We were slaves in Mitzrayim, but then Hashem took us out. We were free. It's in it, right from there. And we Hashem took us out. So that's the answer to the Manishtana. But this idea, so really what we're saying is that it's the whole theme is, it's not two different themes. It's not two contradictory themes. The theme is experiencing avdus to chayrus, experiencing slavery to freedom. That transition takes place Pesach night. And I think with this theme, we can really try to answer our questions and see many more passages and how to understand them in the Haggadah. So we asked about the matzah. Like why we specifically want to eat the matzah b'tei avon. So matzah is symbolic of chayrus, of avdus and chayrus. It's a little of both. It's that we were rushed out and we want to eat that matzah b'tei avon. We want to be hungry. We want to be. I haven't had matzah in a month, or in 15 days, or all at least not all day. And I didn't even eat so much today. And what is there to eat? Right? You can't eat matzah. You can't eat chametz. There is not much to eat. Even if you're not a bechor and you missed the siyum. I'm a bechor trying to miss the siyum. But even if you're not that. Right, you should go into the Seder hungry because you're feeling the avdus that I'm hungry, I'm lacking something, I need something. When you eat that bite of matzah, there's a hiddur mitzvah specifically because matzah you're supposed to right after a long magid, you feel that transition from hunger into satiation, from avdus to chayrus. And I think that as we try, the main point, the main thing we're trying to communicate Pesach night, the main thing, it's a lot of different main things, but the main thing is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, our national history, and the emunah, faith in God we're supposed to have throughout the process, the Pesach story, that's the mitzvah, Yigalta Levinecha, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what we're trying to communicate. But it needs to be delivered in a way that it'll be appreciated. And you could say, the Rav and I were just discussing this. You could say a Dvar Torah, but if people are not, you know, bothered by the question, then they don't care about the answer so much. unless it's a, it has to be a really, really phenomenal answer for people to, like, okay, this is it. But if they didn't have the question, if they didn't agree to the question, then you're not getting anywhere. When we're having questions and answers, we have questions. Everybody has questions in this world, especially why certain things happen the way they do. Everyone has questions. And we would do anything for those answers. That's what it's supposed to feel like Seder night. When we want people to ask questions so that we can give the answers. And the answers are going to be the answers of Emunah, the answers of our history, the answers of Hashem made us slaves and took us out, that there's meaning to everything we're doing, every single thing at the Seder we're doing, there's meaning to it. We need to give the answers. But we want there to be the questions first. It needs to start with questions, because questions is like avdus. Questions is like suffering. And the answers is this big redemption. But if you give the big redemption to someone who doesn't need it, right? If someone is well satiated and you give them food, they don't appreciate it. Someone has plenty to drink, they don't need your water. But if they're in the desert and they're dying, please, please, I need something to drink, then they appreciate that water. Then they appreciate that drink you give them. And that's what the questions and answers need to be at the Seder as well. And so I think this could be shot and why, right, the Torah juxtaposes matzah, mitzvah of matzah, to the response of the son, the she'eino de l'shol, right? All the answers, the answers that we give the four sons are the answers that they're all psukim from the Torah that we're told to answer our sons at some point. They're spread out in different points of the Torah. But the she'eino de l'shol, we're told over here about matzah, that this matzah has to be b'tei avon, and the questions have to be b'tei avon. People have to, the answers, the Torah, the lessons have to be given b'tei avon, people having a desire for it. And I think that this also might be pshat. There's a discussion about the holach ma'anya, I was having with Dr. Bordeker the other night, about holach ma'anya, right, where we make an interesting declaration. Halach ma'anya, they say this is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate. And then what do we say after we say that this is what we invite guests, right? Halach ma'anya di achalu avasan be'ar Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that we ate in Egypt, that our fathers ate in Egypt. Kol dichvin yesev ve'yichol. Kol ditzrich yesev ve'yifsach. Anybody who is hungry, let him come and eat. Anybody who needs, let him come and bring a Korban Pesach. And it's very funny, because the proper time to say this would be in the back of the shul right after Maariv. That's the proper time to say such a thing. Anybody who needs, come. And the Korban Pesach line is much more problematic. Anybody who needs a Korban Pesach, come here. So first of all, we don't have a Korban Pesach. Secondly, the halacha is that you can't just invite somebody last minute to a Korban Pesach. This is a specific halacha that you have to appoint somebody ahead of time. Everyone has to be signed up and registered for this. Many different approaches to how we understand it. But I think a new approach that we can see is it's not even talking to anybody outside the Seder right now. Right? No one new is coming to Seder. We're talking to people at the Seder. Anybody who's hungry, only you can eat, but you have to be hungry. Kol ditzrich, anybody who needs, only if you need it, then you can take part in Pesach. Pesach is for people who are hungry. Pesach is for people who need it, people who are lacking. You need to experience the avdus before you can get to the cherus.
The challenge is trying to find out, who needs a seder to go to, who.
But I'm saying it's symbolic. We're not talking about that. We're saying that we're saying everybody at the table,
right,
you can only be here and take part in this if you're hungry and you need it. Now that doesn't mean if someone's like, oh, actually I'm quite full, you don't kick him out. I'm not saying that.
Oh,
okay. Don't worry. I'm saying. don't worry. I'm saying that the goal, the way to achieve our big goal, our primary goal of Pesach, the way to achieve it is by first being hungry and being needing and being lacking. Because then you can't tap into it. If we talk about Cherus, like we know how it is with the younger generation. Right? We know how it is. That if they would have known what their grandparents and great grandparents would have been through, if they would have, done a little bit of study into Jewish history and maybe Nach, Nevi'im, they would know how blessed they are to have what they have. But they grow up, they think, things are the way they've always been. there's things the way they are. That's how they've always been. They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate lack, and therefore they don't appreciate what they have, the great wealth. Has to be this, and that's why it could be over here, right? The next line, Yesiv Yisach, says, Hashata Hacha Lashona Hababa Ard Yisrael. Now we're here, but next year we'll be in Israel. Hashata Avdi Lashona Hababa Bnei Chorin. Now we're slaves, but the coming year we'll be free. Right? We're again, that transition. We're showing that transition, that we appreciate the fact that we're in slavery, we're in exile, and next year we'll be free. Next year we'll be in our home. There's also a principle that we have, in the Mishnah Mishnah mentions it, that we're maschil b'gnus m'sayim b'shavach. That we start with gnus, with talking about the negativity of the Jewish people, and then we go to shevach, to praise. We start with the negatives, go to the positive. The Machlokas and the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel discuss what is the negativity. Is it like the Egyptian servitude? Is it our original idolatry? But that's not the point. The point right now just is that you start off with the Gnus and then go to the Shevach. You start off talking about the suffering so that you could appreciate the great praise that we have. I want to basically conclude with the... And I mean, also just... Even taking a step now, we'll basically conclude with this point, which is something that we're going to be saying anywhere between 9 and 12 times over Pesach when we say Hallel. And it's Hallel every day of Pesach, plus the two nights of the Seder. Some people do it in the Shul, two nights of Pesach as well. Some people are in Eretz Yisrael, so they have one less day, whatever. But 9 to 12 days, you're going to see saying Hallel. So a line that we have at the end of, I guess the way it's broken up, end of Min HaMetzar, in Tehillim Kuf Yud Ches, say, Odecha Kiani Sani Vatahili Lishua. Which, the simple way to translate it, the way that most Mefarshim and Mikros Gedolos Chumash will translate it, and most of the friends that we've met so far, and Rebbe that we've met so far, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, the way they understand it, Odecha, I will thank you, Kiani Sani, because you answered me. Right? Lechem Oni, one of the explanations is, it's the many things onim are answered or said over it, over the bread. So Odecha, I will thank you, Kiani Sani, because you answered me, Vatahili Yeshua, and you've become for me a great salvation. The Malbim, I think I've heard some rebbes also that might have predated the Malbim said differently, but I've only seen it in the Mikros Gedolos. You can see it in some versions. Yeah, I thought the Malbim says something fascinating. He says Odecha. Anino Shein Hoda, Al Sha'ani Sani. I give you thanks, Al Sha'ani Sani. Not because I was answered, Al Sha'ani Sani Biyasurim. That you afflicted me, right? Anisani could mean afflicted me. So I thank you because you afflicted me, Biyasurim, with afflictions. I thank you because you afflicted me. Ki Al Yidei Kein, because through this, Vaitehi Li Lishua. Through this, I was able to get a salvation. I can only get a salvation if I'm first afflicted. So I thank you, Hashem, for afflicting me, because then I can get a salvation. And he says something. There's something similar in a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Odecha ki Hashem ki anafta bi yeshuv avecha sanchumeni. That right. Also, anafta bi that you're angry with me, did something bad to me, and there's something positive that comes out of this. I originally thought is this really correct? This is not the way the Targum Yonasan understands that pasuk. He clearly understands it like the way Rashi and Ibn Ezra, most Mefarshim do. But I found a midrash in Midrash Tehillim, Midrash Shachar Tov, it quotes a story. I forgot the exact details. Something along the lines of a guy who had a big trip, and he got stung by a scorpion. And he wasn't able to go on the trip, and he was so upset, and he couldn't believe it. And he said, Hashem, what did I do? What were my sins that you brought this upon me? And then he found out that like there was some sort of situation. Everyone on the trip, I forgot if it was a caravan or maybe it was a ship. The ship sunk, and then he was so thankful. And he said, and then it quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So I realized this might be where the Malbim was coming from, because the midrash right here quotes. It doesn't say the exact pshat in Odecha Kiani Sani, but it quotes this pasuk in Yeshayahu. So So I think this is probably Malbim's source, that it's thank you for afflicting me. Right? When my aunt, she had an important meeting, and she missed the train. And turned out that morning was 9/11, and she never missed the train. And that was the one day she missed the train. And many stories like this. Yesterday, I spent Shacharis with somebody who also had a big meeting in the Twin Towers very high up. And he had a big meeting on September 11th, and he usually didn't daven at that point, but he just started going to davening. The rabbi forced him to come to Slichos. He's like, you can't leave, you're our 10th guy. And he's like, I have a big meeting. He's like, you can't leave, we need you, you're a 10th guy. And then unfortunately, the guy he was supposed to be meeting with, unfortunately, passed away. He does a chayim for tikkun for him every year, but he's so thankful that he was davening Slichos that day. And he stayed back. So there's the affliction. I missed the meeting. This bad thing's happening. But you don't know. That could be the source of salvation. But I think much deeper. That's just one level. But much deeper. Not just that, you know, the bad things sometimes turn out good. But the bad things themselves are things that develop us. And the bad things themselves, the yisurim, that seems to be so bad, are what help us appreciate the light. And you know, we can think about it coming out of COVID, and we remember what it's like. We remember what it's like, and be able to walk around, to go to a shir in person, to have a breakfast with the shir, to actually walk around and get some exercise, to be able to see people's faces, to be able to have a seder with more than just yourself, your nuclear family, to be able to go places. We who appreciated that before 3 years ago? But now, we've been here, we're able to get a sense of that. And it could be that's the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shibud Mitzrayim. Why do we have to be slaves in Egypt? So yeah, to some degree it was our fault and our sins that brought us there, our involvement in idolatry, the mistake of the brothers and their interaction with Yosef and whatever assimilation was taking place. Yes, 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 and yes. But also, if it would not be for that Shibud, that slavery, those humble beginnings, who knows if the Jewish people would have been the way they are. The first mitzvah we're given in Parshas Mishpatim is about Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri, having the Jewish slaves. Because we know what it's like to be an Eved Ivri. Because we experienced that. Our beginnings were very humble. And through great kindness of God and great salvation, we were taken out. And this idea of Avdus Techirus, as we see again throughout the whole Haggadah, through every question of slavery and the answer of freedom, the teyavon, the hunger of the lack of teyavon, the hunger of the person who needs to eat the matzah, and then the teyavon that he then eats it with, the holach ma'anya kol dichvin yesev yechol kol dichvin yesev yivsach. If you're hungry, if you need it, here's Pesach. You experience cheirus. Sorry, you experience avdus. Now take it to cheirus. You saw the great Shibud, now Odech Hashem Ki Ani Sani. And we say this at the Seder night, Ki Ani Sani, because you afflicted me, because we got beaten, because the babies were thrown in the Nile, because of everything, I thank you. I know maybe only on Seder night, we have the power to do such a thing, to thank Hashem for this. But Odech Hashem Ki Ani Sani, because you took us from Avdus Cheirus, that you didn't just give us Cheirus, but you allowed us to appreciate it. It's Hashem, we should be Zocha, that all the avdus, different forms of avdus in our lives, should be the end of all the avdus. We should be able to appreciate it as we transition to chirus. I wish everybody a chag kasher v'sameach. Thank you.